sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am John.
And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Bring Her Back.
Bring Her Back.
Bring Her Back.
Bring Her Back. You can put the blame on me, right?
You can talk to me.
Talk to me. I'm waiting for the third film, Talk to the Hand, Back Hand.
I think it's called The Surrender. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But as always, make sure...
To subscribe.
Make sure you're subscribed to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. Leave a review. Tell us how great we are, because we're doing everything perfect.
Five stars, please.
How about this? You could give us five stars and tell us whatever you want.
Yeah.
But yes, as we do, John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Bring Her Back, and I'm waiting for the sequel, Bring Her Back, Romulus. Okay, coming in at number three for Bring Her Back. Bring Her Back, little girl can't see evil.
Yep.
And coming in at number two for Bring Her Back, Sally attempts more fish stuff. And coming in at number one for Bring Her Back, young man eventually becomes wrecked.
I can go for quite a few people in this movie, but yes, so this is the
little boy attempts to eat
as you do. Yes, this is the follow-up for the directors, the Philippou brothers. I didn't know they were twin brothers. Pretty interesting. They're twin
brothers.
And they make movies together.
Interesting.
And at the start of this, one of the trailers that played was the another brother splitting up with his other brother, Ethan Coen's movie, Honey Don't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, did you get that trailer?
I've seen that trailer. I don't know if I got that trailer. I don't really remember.
She is... Yes. Was it Margaret Qualley plays... an investigator? A lesbian investigator, obviously.
It's fuck, what's it called? Like Lucky Something or Something Lucky or not Lucky. Bring Her Back.
Bring Her Back. The other Coen brothers movie? Or well, Ethan Coen.
Yeah, Ethan. Yeah. He doesn't need that other schlump.
Well, I think he's making movies with his wife now. So
As one does. I mean, they're like pushing 70, right?
They're not that old.
Let me see. Ethan Coen is 67 years old.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
Yeah. Because remember, they started with Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell doing the camera work for Evil Dead and then editing Evil Dead 1 and 2.
That's true, they did. And we here at Skeleton Boys Podcast picked Philippou's first feature, Talk to Me, as our favorite movie in 2023 is what we...
Yeah, that. And with that said, Joel Coen is 70. Anyway,
So they're not twins. Confirmed.
Confirmed. It took 67 years exactly to confirm not twins.
Not twins. Trailer came out and they were having a follow-up. I was excited for their next feature, Bring Her Back, which supposedly they're working on a sequel to Talk to Me, which I thought would be next, but... I don't think that ever came out.
Yeah, they're still working on thing. Talk to Me, right? Talk number two.
Yeah, number two. It's To Me. They also did some time trying to make a Street Fighter movie, I think, but bailed out of that and made this movie instead. So I think that's the correct choice. To be honest,
I think so too.
I don't think. I mean,
even though the hot goss on the street is Walton Goggins is in talks to play M. Bison.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. That's accurate. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be really cool.
100%.
But yes, Bring Her Back. The follow-up. What are your first thoughts, John?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, in the same vein as Talk to Me, it's a lot of drama. And even though it's gory and sometimes scary, ultimately it's very depressing.
I We'll say I like the movie. I just think that the third act of this movie didn't work for me.
Mm.
But I liked, you know, the Philip Pooh brothers. This wasn't a, you know, an accident. I think they were very well accomplished filmmakers. They have unique, they bring a lot of style, unique, you know, like they have like a frenetic style to their movie making, very stylized, but they also have very kind of, they tend to like shoot movies in a way that is sort of similar to, like, they're not scared to show violence in a very matter of fact, they show them very matter of fact way, which I think is very effective.
Yeah.
They don't shy away from it, and there's a scene in here in this movie that is absolutely horrifying. The scariest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah. One.
Yeah, the key.
like several. I mean, there is like one that's like really bad, but like, holy shit, yeah.
Yeah, I was out.
Specifically one kid, like 90% of it's one kid.
Yeah, and I like that they're really good storytellers, because they show you, don't tell you. And I think that they also did a wonderful job of casting Sally Hawkins in this Laura, the mother part, or foster parent, for these two kids. And it is a bit of a I think kind of like brilliant to kind of cast, without spoiling, Sally Hawkins is kind of like the opposite of what you might expect, you know, from her, because she's she tends to play very good, warm, funny people in a lot of her movies. Like, she's been the mom in the Paddington movies and stuff. So, or she was in, you know, Mike Lee's Happy Go Luckily, which I think she got like an Oscar nomination for and stuff. So,
she was into fish fucking in that other movie with Guillermo del Toro,
which I didn't care for, but yes, she was also in that. She also was in that movie, which I don't think she won anything, right? It was all pretty much just like, we're gonna give all the awards to Guillermo del Toro.
I don't think she, well, I don't know, maybe she did. I don't know.
Yeah, she kind of just,
I'm sure Doug Jones got snubbed again. As he always does.
But yeah, I would say across the board, all of the performances I thought were really good.
Yeah, yes.
One in particular that we should highlight is first time actor was this Sora Wong, who,
yeah, she was fantastic. Yeah,
yeah. She plays, she's a visually impaired, and she actually is visually impaired, and so she does have, like, you can tell right away that she's you know, her eyes are like moving or rolling around a little bit. So it's like she's visually impaired. She's like not blind, but she just can't see 100% out of them. And
yeah,
this is actually her first movie.
First movie ever. Yeah, I think I read that her mom just happened to see a listing for a casting call.
Yeah, on Facebook. Like, who's on Facebook?
Yeah, her mom apparently was like, I've wanted to be an actress my whole life. Now it's my daughter's turn. I don't know that for a fact.
So, yeah, she puts a really wonderful performance too. And the kids also are really good. I feel like this is the Philip Pooh brothers' strength is they tend to cast very young, but they cast really good. Like, they,
really, yeah.
Really good young actors.
Because the Andy, what's his name, Billy Barrett, was fantastic too.
Yes. Yeah, he was excellent too. And I would say a staple of theirs is that they tend to portray a lot of like anxiety or trauma, and they just, instead of telling you like, oh, I'm depressed, or like, oh, I'm traumatized, it's, they tend to just show you in very horrific ways to make you feel what this character is experiencing. There's a sequence in here with Andy, the character Billy, the character Andy experiences. I think it's just like, oh, like just horrifying. The whole movie to me was anxiety ridden. Like, it's just so tense and suspenseful.
Because I don't consider this a spoiler, because quite immediately you catch that Sally Hawkins is fucking gaslighting this kid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, what is she doing? Like, why? And, you know, you just kind of understand, like, there's something wrong with her.
Right.
And then when you meet her son, Oliver, who is very peculiar, right? You're like, man, there's something up with this family.
Yeah, exactly. You immediately know something's off, right? You immediately kind of know that. Oliver's kind of like different.
So yeah, because this movie's got a bunch of things going for it. It's like a handicapable, very strong lead actress. Like, she's not portrayed as weak.
Mm-hmm.
Our obvious villain is a fantastic. You get some dad schlong a couple of times. It's got everything.
little something for everybody.
You know, forcing underage drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll get there. But all right, so the movie kind of kicks off with Andy and Piper. Their father dies in the shower from complications to chemotherapy, which...
Yeah, I didn't catch that. I think you told me briefly before, and I was like, I feel like I was paying attention. I didn't catch that at all.
Yeah, same. I didn't catch that that was part of it, the chemotherapy. So
I assumed it was like a drug overdose or something.
Or I
had it in my head that like he was locking himself in the bathroom to do drugs. And they were aware of it.
I just thought he just had a stroke or something. Yeah, bathroom and died.
That's not a schlong joke, everybody. Jeez.
I mean, he was. Yeah.
I mean, I guess that thing was massive,
right?
I think
right? So. Yeah.
Like his head just went no more blood.
Just all went down instead of.
And he collapsed and died. It happens. That's why you shouldn't have. Big schlong.
But yes, so then the Andy and Piper are placed in foster care, but they're going to be split up. But because if Andy has like a past where he like had some sort of episode or incident, violent episode or incident, so which we'll kind of figure out pretty soon here why. And then, but the the foster person or whatever, Wendy, she ends up kind of basically saying like, if you can go 3 months. You know, in this home, everything's good. When you turn 18, you can start to the proceedings of being like the caretaker, guardian of Piper. And so they end up living at the foster parent of Laura, played by Sally Hawkins, right? And they move in with her. Apparently, I thought she referred to him as his nephew, but I don't think that was clear either. That Oliver was the nephew, not the son.
I thought she was passing it off. No, she was. Pretending it was her son.
That's what I thought too.
I thought,
yeah,
right. And then I mean, you find out something else later, I guess, maybe, right? I don't know.
Yeah, it's during this sort of meet when they get to the house. Laura tells her that her daughter Kathy was also a vision of her, like Piper, but drowned in the backyard pool, which we don't really, I guess I'm assuming she slipped because like, well, really spoiling it, she had like they show a scene where like Kathy is like bleeding from her head or something, right? So I'm assuming she just probably slipped or something.
Which is, you know, incredibly sad, but also nobody was watching her. She's a child. And then two.
Real
like,
judgy child.
That pool's not that deep, so.
Well, it may have been. I mean, when we see the pool, it isn't filled, right? And Oliver's like harassing a cat in it when we meet him.
It only took, and this is, I don't know if this is, but it only took 2.5 days for that thing to get filled up. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't that deep.
It was clearly.
It was basically a glorified jacuzzi.
I mean, this was clearly Australia, we should probably mention. So, you know, the outback, unpredictable weather, I imagine. I'm just making that up. I have no knowledge.
You could tell by the wallabies.
Wallabies.
Just kidding. and there's random characters like Master Blaster. I'm just kidding.
And then so we kind of get a sense that Laura kind of prefers Piper to Andy, right? Because I mean, she like takes the room, it's already kind of still has like creepily still has all of the daughter stuff intact, and Andy kind of gets like the closet. It's a very
like a rather large linen closet or something. I don't know.
He's
able to put a weight set in there, like
sunroom. What do we? It's like, it's something like that. But he gets like an undersized bed. He clearly is not a priority.
No.
So, the kids end up going to the father's funeral, and this is the gaslighting part. I'm sure you're referring to, where Laura tells Andy that some believe the soul lingers in the body after death, so she pressures Andy to kiss his dead father on the lips. Besides protest.
Yeah, and she's like, no, come on, it's tradition. You have to, Andy. He's like, what? I don't want to do
what
that.
What tradition? Like, what is she talking about?
And she's like, come on, it's tradition. And I'm sure Andy is just like in his head circling, just he saw his dad's big schlong and he's like, oh man, I don't want to kiss this guy. The whole movie for me was about the schlong.
I want to shake his
I'm just gonna tell you
shake
right
his
now.
Hand, shake his schlong. And so in this scene, Laura cuts a little hair off the father corpse. So she pockets it. And again, that night, Laura gives the kids all alcohol. They play like a fun drinking game.
Yeah, and they get like trashed.
Yeah, and they get trashed and stuff like that, which is kind of like a weird thing. Right away, that's already like odd behavior. Clearly, she's up to something.
And before this is happening, Andy keeps waking up like he's pissed his pants, which, like, we see what really happens, and that's just not how pee works unless, like, his urethra is, like, the 6 inches wide or something. Like, usually just pee one direction, you know? Like, it doesn't, like...
Right. Well, I mean, I think that he couldn't, because, I mean, I don't want to say it, but, like, he, like, because how he woke up, he just, like, oh, shit, I pissed on myself. I'm ashamed. I have to go wash my clothes.
Yeah, but he had done that before getting trashed.
Yeah.
It had happened once already before.
Yeah, but, like, I just think that was the motivation. He was ashamed of it. So he wasn't, like, just like, wait a minute, I have a small schlong. Like, this should, only be going in one direction. I don't know. during this time, Andy confesses that his biological father was abusive towards him, but never hit, and in fact was maybe more affectionate to Piper, which kind of left him resentful.
So at, 8 years old, he had an episode and went and punched Piper as a baby.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it was just...
And he never forgave himself for that.
Yeah, and he actually does try to be, like, a good brother to her.
Yeah.
After that, I would think. So the next day... Andy lets Oliver out of the locked room, and then the holy shit fucked up moment.
Yeah. Andy was like, oh, he's locked in there, let me just break into the room. Like, he grabs a knife. Like, there's a lot of knives in this movie.
Yeah. And he
breaks Oliver out.
Mm-hmm. And then tells him, like, oh, you can use this pad to talk to me or whatever.
Yeah, there it is.
And then so he's like,
the moment where everybody in the theater was like, oh, said it.
He begins to cut some melon or something, right? Cantaloupe?
Yeah, it was a melon, I think, yeah. Sort of,
melon situation. Do you think it's honeydew? Honeydew's gross. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't like honeydew.
My thing is, like, Andy fucked up here. I know it was, like, going to progress the movie to the moment you're about to talk about, but he's like, oh, no, you got to talk to me. This is the only way, right, you can earn this food, because I know you're probably hungry. And he's like, all right, here you go. And he hands the... fucking fruit with the knife, like, still stuck in it to the kid. Like, what are you doing? Take it off the knife.
And, like, he's...
And then the kid grabs the whole knife and starts gnawing on the... Or, like, on the honeydew or the melon, whatever. And he turns around again. Not the smart thing to do.
Maybe look for a plate. Yeah, all right.
Maybe don't leave him unattended with a fucking knife.
And the weird fucking little kid begins to chew on a knife. I had to look away.
This was absolutely disgusting. Like, he's chomping so hard that his teeth are, like, breaking and falling off, and it's, like, cutting into the roof of his
gum and lips.
Like, in his lip and his mouth.
Yeah, it's horrible. Absolutely just...
And I feel like everything that happens to this kid, because the kid gets hurt before, too, when he's trying to... I guess he's trying to eat the cat, but the cat gets away. But just all these things are happening to this kid, and he's, like, getting really fucked up, but he's acting really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like... there's going to be a reveal at the end of the movie that kind of makes that's so horrible. Like, that makes it extra horrible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then, you know, Andy's, like, freaking out, and he tries to take Oliver to the hospital, and we kind of bear witness to, there's a white circle around the whole house. And when he crosses him, he doesn't, well, that, Oliver doesn't want to leave the white circle, but, and he pulls him over, and then he, like, convulses and just starts, like, panicking and stuff like that.
And then you finally hear Oliver talk for the first time, right? And he says, help me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Poor kid. Jeez.
Yeah, so soon.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, like, Laura and Piper come home. She does, like, this calming rubbing of the head circular motion on him.
Speaking of Laura, Sally Hawkins has a tattoo on her hand, I guess, that they kept trying to cover up.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I was like, what does the symbol mean? How is it connected? I think it's just a tattoo that Sally Hawkins has.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see that on her hands and stuff.
Did you assume it was also, like, it's got to be a part of something?
Like, right, yeah.
Nope.
And then we kind of get our sort of first big reveal here, which I don't know if this is a spoiler or not. I don't know. Should we go into spoilers?
I mean, we could.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers!
All right, something I assumed in the movie was that because the boy that plays Oliver has very unique features
mm-hmm.
as an actual human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the kid to look very androgynous. So at some point I thought I misheard her say, be careful with her. But I think I was just like hearing that in my own head.
Right.
Because I had assumed that Oliver was actually her daughter that had drowned.
That's what I thought too. Because it seemed like in some of the, there's like VHS tapes and stuff like that, that Laura has, where they kind of don't really show the child's face. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, so I kind of thought that too. Is like, oh no, how are they going to pull this off? Like, is it actually, is Oliver actually a girl?
which also begs the question. So you had told me that this is the same universe as Talk to Me?
Yes. According to the directors, yes. That it's literally the same street that Talk to Me takes place. Which I'm assuming like the main character of that movie, father, had kind of like a similar typed house, if I remember, out there in the middle of nowhere, if I recall.
I kind of don't remember.
I remember the father's house, but I don't, but yeah, they went to their friend's house. They were mostly like in parties and homes and stuff. But according to the directors, yes, these films are loosely connected, or at least in the same universe. So the tape that she's watching, it shows a disturbing ritual and demonic cult, which is actually the first.
It's the new VHS.
The new VHS, yeah, Ringu movie. And, you know, yeah, and it's like, it's depicting like a ritual demonic cult or something like that. Which is actually the first thing we see, which is quite disturbing. And it's sort of showing it again, kind of shows that Laura is found these tapes and is kind of using them as a guide for Oliver. Not quite sure why, but we know that Oliver, you know, begs for help, like you had said, and wants to be forced back, but is in this like trance-like state or whatever. And she's like going over the tapes and making sure she's going to perform some type of ritual in it and stuff like that.
So we don't see something, but I'm also assuming that Oliver is possessed by something. And I think one clue is that he writes bird on a paper before he starts gnawing on the knife. So I'm wondering if whatever was inside of Oliver was like some sort of bird-like creature, but we don't really see any of that. And I actually kind of appreciate that about the movie. Like it's not, you know, flat out exposition about how whatever ritual people are trying to attempt works or what it is. Cause that is not the focal point of the movie.
Right. It focuses more on the human drama or toll that it's taking on these people. Yeah, and she feeds him the hair, and that then the next day we're kind of given this like thing where Andy attempts to take a shower, because during this whole time he doesn't like taking a shower because he's traumatized. That's because that's how his dad died. And when he attempts to take a shower, he struggles after being, he kind of hallucinates his father's dead body while showering, and has like, and his father warns Andy not to allow Piper outside in the rain. So
I guess because we, you know, we grew up as Mexicans, he probably had like a Mexican friend at one point, and he was like, you can also go outside and use the manguera.
So. Yeah. I mean, that's Australia. They're pretty native. yeah. And then he kind of gets taken to the hospital. What else happens here? Let's see. Laura then asks Piper if she likes living with her. And she says that she doesn't want to say no, but she wants to live with her brother and would visit her on the weekends.
Because not even at the fault of Piper, because Laura does a really good job of gaslighting everybody. Piper just doesn't realize the threat.
Yeah.
She's under the impression that this woman is very kind.
And that's actually kind of interesting, because they set it up that the father was the same way, because the father probably treated her nicely but was real shitty with Andy. So she has like like this distrust or whatever. And then this you know, after the other part of the movie, kind of like Andy comes back, and we start to see more of what her plan or intention was, right? Because she, during the scene, she takes Piper to see the dead, to see basically her dead daughter's body, and it's there, and we see that Oliver was there too, which hiding in the darkness or something, right? So we're kind of like, ooh, what's gonna happen, right? And then she tries to next part of the movie, she basically just tries to turn Andy against her, right? Like
Or you turn Piper against Andy,
right? Against Andy, yeah. And stuff like that about the bedwetting. She like sprays herself with like, what is it, like Axe spray?
Oh, his body spray that he uses all the time. And she goes in there and fucking wallops the Piper while she's asleep. I was like, holy shit. It's like,
yeah.
And something that I didn't quite understand, but I saw it with my partner, and Tess brought up a good point. She was like, I guess I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but Laura's panicking and trying to clean up her house. And she's dumping out the creatine that Andy had. So I'm assuming that she was actually putting some sort of steroids in there on purpose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. I figured something was up when he wet the bed again. But yeah, they made a point to kind of show the bottle he would drink his shakes in or whatever, like several times. Him aggressively working out or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of assumed like, oh, okay, well, maybe Laura was putting something else in it. I didn't realize it was steroids, but yeah. And while Andy is waiting to meet with the Wendy from the foster care, he sees a missing child poster for Connor Bird, who looks just like Oliver.
Except Oliver's bald and Connor has long, billowy, flowy hair.
Yes, yeah.
It's very Australian.
Yeah, and he realizes that the Oliver writing Bird earlier attempt was to identify himself. Like he was trying to write his name.
Yeah.
And that, so.
And I'm still going to stand by that there's a demon bird in him too as well.
So. Well, yeah, that's,
we don't know anything about that.
We'll get there. Yeah. And so Wendy goes over and that scene takes place where Laura's like vigorously trying to like clean the entire apartment and stuff like that. But then I guess at some point, I guess Oliver had an episode previous to this and then he like bites her arm, I guess because he hasn't been fed. And so then she's bleeding from her arm during this whole while Wendy is like checking the house and everything. Andy's waiting in the car. And of course, right before Wendy leaves, she starts seeing the blood in his hand. And then like Laura basically like confesses that
she's trying to do a thing.
She's trying to do a thing, a body swap.
She's like, come on, no, wait, I'm trying to do a thing. Just let me do a thing real quick. But I like that lady, the like social worker.
Yeah, she had a great line here.
Has a very legitimate reason to go and check on Laura. Like it's not like, oh, this woman's stupid. She's not paying attention. It's just like, I think she's aware something's up. But she, you know, she takes Andy to go and check up on them. And as she's talking to Laura, because I guess Laura had been an employee there for like 25 years or something.
Right. Yeah. And
everybody loved her. Like,
yeah. Did you catch the little joke Wendy said here? They're looking there. Huh? Did you catch the joke here where like Laura shows Wendy her room and Laura's like, oh, she picked everything herself. She got it the way she wanted. Like, well, she is blind.
Yeah, yeah. Or she was like, oh, she didn't want to change anything. She just wanted to leave it. Like, yeah, I think she's blind.
Yeah, she's blind.
And then, yeah, Laura's like, what did you say? She's like, oh, nothing.
Yeah, very, very funny moment. And then, Wendy basically starts to believe Andy in this case, and they're like running out.
Or she is like, okay, something is fucking up. I'm going to get out of there. And then Andy runs in after breaking into the back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
There's a shed where
the corpse
Laura's daughter's body's
in the freezer.
And I think at this point, Oliver started eating that body because... What we can gather from the tapes is the possessed person needs to eat the old body of whomever had died because the soul lingers in the body for whatever amount of time. And and then needs to like throw it up into the new body. And then that person becomes the old person, which we see happens in the tape.
Yes. Yes. That's basically what the ritual is. Yeah.
And again, this poor boy, Oliver, who's possessed, has to go through, like, aside from, like, he cuts his arm and he starts digging into it and starts eating into his own arm at one point, eating a bunch of raw chickens, eats the body of this, like, very deceased little girl, and then has, like, a stomach bulge that suggests that his stomach probably would have popped. And again, this makes it all more horrific when there's a big reveal at the end. But yeah, anyway, Andy is able to show the social worker that happening. And she's like, oh, shit, let's get out of here. And as they're trying to get to the car and get out of there, Laura comes out of nowhere in a big SUV and fucking nails them both.
Yeah. And so.
And this was a big twist for me in the movie. I wasn't expecting what happens is Andy gets killed.
Yeah, Andy dies. So it's.
And we've been following his story the whole time.
And Oliver munches on him, too.
I thought that what was going to happen was Oliver was accidentally going to, you know, put the body, the soul into Andy's body because Andy essentially drowned to death, too. He was crawling out of the wreckage and Laura saw him and pushed his head into like a puddle. Very unbreakable or not unbreakable. What is it?
Glass.
Yeah. Except he had a legitimate reason. I don't know. Like Bruce Willis had all the strength in the world and was like, oh, a little bit of water, I'm dead.
Yeah. Me too. I don't drink water. I'm just kidding. Toxic stuff. Just Dr. Peppers.
Like opposite slug. Yeah.
But yeah, so then, so basically like Piper's on her own, right? And I think they do a very interesting thing because like just the fact that she's like visually impaired, you think that she's more like vulnerable, right? But I think that it's not really played that way, right? Like Laura, Piper kind of like fights brave and fights
her
off.
I would say if she wasn't as visually impaired, she probably wouldn't be doing some of the, like the beginning of the movie, it's kind of gross in my opinion. Forgive me, I'm having respiratory issues. At the beginning of the movie, when their father passes away, there's clips of her and the father had thrown up, I guess, in his own mouth. And she's trying to resuscitate him by mouth to mouth. And I was just like, and then here she gets back after like she gets dropped off with her black eye, right? Like her newly shiner on her face. Mm-hmm. She gets back and she's like, have you seen my cell phone? I can't find it. And this is Andy had already like before getting there on the drive over while they're rushing there, gave a long heartfelt speech about why he did what he did and what happened in the past. And now he really loves her and says grapefruit, which is like a safe word for them. Mm-hmm. Whatever their kinky shit is. No, I'm just kidding. It's like a, like a code for between the two siblings. And she's trying to find her cell phone and then she hears Andy call her name, which we know it's not Andy because Andy had just died, and it's Oliver, and she reaches for Oliver, feels his head, and then this is where she starts catching Lauren her lies because she's like, what did you say Oliver's hair looks like? And she's like, curly and red. She's like, all right, you're fucking lying.
Right, exactly. We'll finish up this part and I'll get to like the part I didn't really care for, this third act I didn't care for, but so Piper escapes, goes to the bathroom, finds her brother's dead body there. Laura and Piper kind of have like a fight or whatever, and Laura confesses that she feels like she spoke to an angel who's possessing Oliver's body, and that angel will put Kathy into Piper's body. So now she's essentially confessing to Piper what she's going to do, but she must drown her in the pool. She must die the same way as her daughter.
Oh yeah. And she says it so, man, it's so cold. Where it's like, what are you going to do, Laura? And she's like, I'm going to drown you in the pool now, Piper. He's like, oh shit. So she scratches her, turns around. And of course, because she's visually impaired. And of course I made a fucking joke about it. Maybe I'm just uncomfortable with tense moments. But she like runs straight into a beam, which I had mentioned. I'm like, in the moment you're like, oh fuck. No, it's just like she couldn't see. But truthfully, I think if she had ran outside, she probably would have died in a different way.
It's kind of like, I get why it's just gonna make sense, right? Because she doesn't know that the house very well, so she's just literally just running for her life, and she like runs to a beam.
But what I think what I'm getting at is, if you so felt inclined, anyone, if you were to just clip from her scratching Sally Hawkins and just running into the thing, it might be funny. I don't know. If there's no context as to what's going on, it came off a little slapsticky.
So I would say the punch to the face when she punched the kid that night.
Yeah,
that was very funny. That
again, if you clip that, objectively very funny, but maybe because I'm fucked up in the head.
You so, just watch too much Instagram happens. Videos. That's what Instagram does. they put all these scenes out of context. I mean, there's some legitimately funny scenes where Meet Joe Black, where Brad Pitt gets hit by 100 cars.
Oh my god, that shit's so fucking funny.
That's actually that's actually really funny. But yeah, no, there's other stuff where they're like, oh, what's this movie? Just some random clip, and there's no context for it. So
yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, so she's it's been raining, I guess, all this whole week or whatever she was there. So the pool is now full enough to where Laura,
because it was shallow to begin with. Yeah, it was drained. And as a neglectful parent, she
she drags her to the pool and begins to drown her. And they should begin to have like a struggle, and then like Piper screams mum, and for some reason Laura becomes overwhelmed with guilt and lets her go. And then Piper escapes down the road, is picked up by a passing couple, and
Oliver throws up a lot and then crosses the barrier again. Mm-hmm. And then we don't see it, but the demon leaves Oliver's body. And now poor Oliver has to live the rest of his life wondering why his face is so fucked up and his stomach is exploded and his esophagus is
missing pieces. Why
he's missing teeth. Like,
yeah. And I thought that part was actually, I was not expecting the kid to survive, but yeah, I guess Connor has survived this ordeal. And then any shot of this,
I think it's fair because killing Andy, I thought was a bold move.
So did I. I thought they actually, I think that was a good move in the sense, like, it definitely raised the stakes now because we know that Piper was the one that Laura wanted, and we know that Piper's visually impaired and stuff. So, and a little bit more innocent or gullible to adults, right? Lying to them. So, it seemed like almost.
No, she's going to have fucking issues the rest of her life, I think. But yeah.
And basically, his last shot is Laura carries Kathy's corpse to the pool and cradles it in the. As the officers around her, so
which did she let herself drown or
no? She just kind of gave up and was. The way I see it is that the police were coming in that moment. So
yeah,
I will say
who called the police?
I think the people that picked up what's her face that picked up Piper. I would say this ending really didn't land the way I wanted. It was like too. Matter of fact in its delivery, because I assumed what I imagined what was going to happen was Laura was actually going to get Piper to do it, and then there was going to like figure out what the next step was, right? There's like that Piper was going to die and then Kathy came back, and then maybe I don't know, something would have happened, maybe anything could have happened, right? Like this new Kathy Piper thing could have killed her or like killed itself, or maybe the police like got involved and somehow, you know,
or something worse, like maybe Laura accidentally drowns and Oliver puts Kathy in Laura.
Yeah, that was also the thing, another possibility. I was a little underwhelmed with what they decided here. It's very kind of matter of fact, right? Like she escapes, somebody finds her, the police are there, she gets arrested. And I will also say I feel like I was a little confused by the last shot of this movie where Laura is holding Kathy's corpse in the pool. Like I get what it's signaling, but I didn't connect with that moment because I believe Laura is a bad person, even though she's had like this horrible thing happened to her. She still behaved and pretty much was the antagonist to this whole movie. And I kind of felt like the filmmakers kind of gave her like empathy, like feel sorry for her because her daughter died. And I didn't connect with that. I would have liked like actual like punishment for the character, which I mean, we assume it's going to happen, right? She'll probably be arrested or whatever. But
I think it's also, what would the punishment be? Her life is already fucked to a degree she can't come back from, and she's desperate enough to do a ritual and to like ruin other people's lives because she doesn't, like her life is that bad already.
Yeah, I kind of felt like you said, like maybe Oliver could have eaten her face too. And then there's like repercussions of that, right? Like, it just felt like too matter of fact. And it's, I was reading that the Philippou brothers decided they had a lot of different endings, and the reason why they went with that one was because when this movie ends, they dedicated to a friend of theirs that passed away, Harley Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
At the very end there, very sad. He was like 22-23 years old, and they were making the movie and dealing with this kind of like sudden death. And it goes on to say that the film ending goes against the conventions a little bit, but it feels more true to life. I guess they wanted to show like the suddenness, the randomness, the unfairness of like life. But I kind of, in my opinion, that ending, I understand why that ending's there, but to me it kind of doesn't make sense. It's not really like a cathartic kind of like ending for the movie.
Yeah,
I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I didn't mind it. I think I don't know. There's a couple of things. Maybe in an effort to keep the body as fresh as possible while she cradled it would be in the water, right? Mm-hmm. Unless she wanted to crawl up in the freezer, which would be kind of, you know, comical. Or can't really take her back inside because the house is completely fucked up now.
Because I feel like it says here that the Philippou brothers, one ending included Kathy actually ending up in Piper's body. And that they had planned for like a bigger, scarier thing. But then they they kind of were dealing with, they kind of switched it up to like a more of a matter of fact, true life emotional moment for them, which I kind of feel like I get it's, I totally understand why they put that ending there, but it kind of doesn't feel satisfying. I think enough satisfying.
Okay. Yeah. I truly didn't mind it. I also liked that it doesn't lend itself to a sequel.
Yeah.
Like this is just an isolated incident story.
Mm-hmm. And I think,
Would you have rather that Piper wakes up or is like looking at her phone and it gets a text saying like, you've been in a coma for 20 years. We're trying to wake you up. Wake up. And then the title credit Come True comes on.
Yeah, she gets vampire fangs. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Let us know if you want us to review Come True again.
Yeah. No, I just think that like there's a lot of different, like I felt like I could kind of see how this, what the thing is like I feel like I could see where the movie was trying to go in places, and they definitely, instead of zigging, they zagged, you know, but like on purpose, and I felt a little cold by that. The other thing that I want to say that I had a issue with was I felt like Talk to Me did an amazing job of explaining how the rules of the thing worked. The sort of hand, right, as a doorway.
Yeah, and, but that movie was like all about the hand, and then incidentally about her trying to get a hold of her mom again.
Yeah, I like that they set up all the rules of how it worked and it made sense, and then they broke all the rules by the end. And I kind of feel similar to that. They have this concept, right? This sort of high concept of like this demon or whatever, demonic ritual thing where like you're able to take a dead body, summon something, and then replace it by going into the other body, bring it back to life and stuff. And I feel like it was never really fully explored, and it does feel like kind of an afterthought in a way, because like here's where I get hanged up, because the Oliver has eaten a lot of people in this movie. He ate part of the dad, he ate the dad's hair, he ate a bit of the daughter, he ate a bit of Andy, and associates of other things, right? Explain to me how this works, because the only video we saw was the actual process in the VHS tapes, right? Where there was a dead body, it eats the face of the dead body, then goes to the other person, and then that is somehow transferred to that person, and that's how they become reborn again.
Yeah, but there was more to it. It was like, there was like things that they had to say, and they had to be within the circle or whatever, and that's why that whole motion on the forehead to calm him down. I think she's like saying things. I think she like plays the tape in the background while she's doing that, while that person's saying whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it's like specific. It only works with two specific people.
So how would that work? Because he's eating all these other people. So the next person he eats is the person he transferred over. Like, how do we know Andy won't be in there? Or like, it's,
that's what I mean. I think it's like the body's already been like, oh, whatever sayings or whatever,
like she's gonna perform the ritual then and
like,
there,
it's already been performed, like that is already the marked body, and everything else is just like, this kid is fucking hungry because he's not eating.
Okay. And a symptom of that,
I think the reason she was trying to starve Oliver was to make sure that he had enough space in his belly to eat all of
his daughter or Piper.
Kathy,
yeah, Kathy and Piper. Okay.
But then he didn't actually eat all of Kathy, just like part of her head.
Right.
But I think that's also because everything was going like south or whatever for everyone.
Right. Yeah, I was slightly confused by that. I just a little disappointed. I would say a little confused, a little disappointed that like the filmmaker's previous movie, like they explained that this great set of rules and explained this very unique concept and like did an amazing job executing it. And I kind of felt like this was similar kind of like supernatural thing, but kind of like less explained and more going for like an emotional drama part of it.
Which I think I liked also. I mean, it's something different. Like I said, yeah, Talk to Me was all about the hand, and
yeah,
Bring Her Back was just about Sally Hawkins.
Right. And this ritual. Kinda. Yeah. And the ritual. And
would you have preferred then when Oliver does throw up the whatever last thing he ate, soul into the other person, that person turns into a melon slice.
Ugh, I hate melons.
A melon slice and a part of a knife and some teeth.
Yeah, fuck Honeydew. He just like vomiting up like a piece of knife and like a cat. Cacking it up.
chickens and glass. That's right, he eats glass at one point too, right?
And part of a banister kitchen table or something.
Oh my god, that part was so fucking, that part got me for some reason. I was like, oh.
yeah
he eats like the side of the dining table. I think it's like pure wood.
Yeah,
And then he like eats his own forearm for a little bit.
No, just chomping away. Just yeah. Going.
He's a hungry boy. And it's like, she's not feeding him.
Alrighty. Cool. Did you want to have any other thoughts to that?
No, I think great. I enjoyed it.
Cool. All right. John, let's rate the movie. Our unscientific yet very sexy rating system. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you give?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give me? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Bring Her Back 6.5 sexy spooky bones.
6.5? What are you, Pitchfork?
Yeah.
Are you gaslighting this rating? You're like, oh, this is exactly. The best movie in a generation. Truly.
I love it.
Changing everything. 6.5.
Well, because it doesn't beat Companion.
Oh, Companion. I'll say now, Companion is still in the running as the best movie I've seen this year. Horror movie I've seen this year. Yeah. Easily.
And I know, I feel like it just wasn't your wheelhouse, but man, I fucking love The Monkey.
No, actually, I've come to...
The absurdity, fucking, I loved it.
I feel like as time has passed, I think The Monkey has grown on me in terms of like likability.
Right? Just the absurdity of it is like really fucking fun. You know, I think I mentioned that before, but like it felt very like Eugene Ionesco, which is, for everybody listening, an absurdist playwright of sorts.
Right. Yeah. I think when I dug a little deeper and I got into like the meaning of the movie and what it represented, I have to say that's actually quite, it's grown on me a lot, the movie itself. So
I think I'm a huge Oswald Perkins fan.
I'm definitely interested to see what he does next. He definitely seems to be a unique filmmaker. I'm going to give the movie 7. 7.
7.
I was a...
You loved it.
I know, compared to you. I'm surprised that I liked it more. I felt like I was going to like it less. But I just was a little emotionally disconnected with the stuff that I mentioned. Like, I wasn't crazy about the third act or the ending or even how they executed the ritual rules of what they were trying, what Laura was trying to accomplish. But I thought there's great performances. The Philippou brothers, I think, are always interesting and always worth checking out their stuff because I think they're very accomplished filmmakers.
But I think we need to start letting go of the idea that VHS tapes last forever because that is not true.
When we went to go watch... what did we go? Fuck. This for my birthday, we went to this show.
For the Thumpasaurus?
No. This is my last.
Oh,
Fred Armisen. I could not think of his name, dude. It's very hot in this room. Fred Armisen. There was a guy. Did you see there was a guy shooting on a fucking camcorder? 80s style camcorder.
And I'm wondering if that's like.
It was a deliberate choice.
You met my friend Joe, right? The guy that weighs at things on Instagram. Everybody follow him. He does stuff like that. I wonder if he's like starting to outsource like a team of people to do stuff like that.
Well, I think people are appreciating this sort of raw, quite a gritty aesthetic, right? That you get from old archaic film equipment like that.
Yeah.
I mean, because...
And something that you tangibly can own because, right, we pay for the license to be allowed to watch movies when we buy them online.
Yes.
We don't actually own the movie.
Right. Yeah. I think part of the reasoning you're maybe seeing this sort of aesthetic come up again is because everybody has fucking 1080p camera in their pocket, right? It's like, it all looks good. So I think maybe just as an aesthetic choice, you can pick older equipment and stuff like that.
Yeah, AI is garbage. You're right.
Or like cassette tapes, right? Like, People still using that medium.
I just shared a meme from the hard times that said, a millennial prefers the warm crackle of LimeWire download over streaming.
Exactly. You don't know what you're going to get. It says Timmy Baby one more time, but it might not be it.
Madonna covers Marilyn Manson, 1967, XYW/.
And it's a virus. No. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky. Bring her back.